everyone. This is Cassie with the Wedding Salt Podcast, and I wanted to chat with you about episode number 6, which you're listening to. And this is all about how I make my marketing strategy. And I think this is something that a lot of people really struggle with. But I'm super excited to announce that I'm going to be doing a new series called Marketing School. And it came about because I was thinking about how can I serve people in a way that no one else does. You know, a lot of these courses talk to you about like, here's your 5-step strategy to do this. But they don't really talk about why or, you know, the fundamentals behind doing these things. So I'd rather give you the tools to be able to come up with your own strategy for your own business, because like I'm a wedding and elopement photographer, but you might be listening and you're a wedding planner or you're a newborn photographer. And I want to make it clear so that you can use this information and apply it to your specific niche. So that is coming up. I'm working on that, and only you know about it on the podcast because I can't keep my mouth shut. if you know me, you know it's true. But I went to business school and I got my degree in marketing, and I worked in marketing research doing marketing research for the longest time. And then when I finally decided to put my business together and follow my passion, I was like, you know what? I'm just going to apply what I know about marketing and use it to grow my business. And the first year that I used what I knew, I was actually halfway through the wedding season. It was like, I don't know, June. And I started way too late. And so I got, you know, the tail end of last minute brides looking for a photographer. And I think I made $10,000 that summer. Flash forward to last year and I made over $70,000. And I'm fine sharing that with you because I am fully transparent about this process. I want to share what has worked for me and why. And my goal for next year is to make more than that, right? So looking at what I have on track for the weddings that I have scheduled for this year, I'm on track, but I want to pivot into doing photography education and focusing more on helping you, because it's not necessarily about the money anymore. It's great to make the money and it's great to have a business and do what you love, but I'm definitely at a point where it is so fulfilling to me when I get text messages from people that I'm working with saying, oh my God, Cassie, I did this and it worked. I got 5 bookings. Like, that is so freaking fulfilling for me. And I didn't realize that it was going to be as fulfilling as it is when I started my photography journey. And if you know me, you know that I'm also a high school photography teacher and I love teaching. Like, I got my master's degree in teaching. So it's something that I'm really passionate about and I'm excited to share that with you all. And so this is kind of like just stepping into the courses that I want to make for you. So this podcast is basically how I make my marketing strategy, and I simplified it so that you can take some nuggets from this and use it in your business. Okay. So we're going to have a couple of like key terms, things that you should know. And I don't like BSing. I am going to talk about stuff that's important that you do need to know in order to kind of grasp the concepts so that you can apply them to your business. So my marketing strategy, of course, is to try and get people to find me and see my work and want to hire me, right? So that's the end result. But the strategy is how you get to that point. So my marketing strategy is based around 2 questions. The first one is, where do couples go to start planning? That's number one. And two, what are their worries and concerns? So the reason why I have those two questions is because they guide all of my actions. So where do couples go to start planning? The reason why I ask that and I base my actions around that is because I want to show up there, right? A lot of people have no marketing strategy. Their strategy is to just post to social media and hope that people find them. And that's not really a strategy at all. That's making a wish. So I want you to be more intentional about that. And I'm going to talk about how I plan around that soon. The other thing, number two, what are their worries and concerns? Now, the reason why this is so critical is because when someone is willing to spend like $4,000 on you to shoot their wedding day, they want to feel really confident that you can document their day and you know you're a professional and you know all of the ins and outs and you're basically like a specialist in your field. So the best way that you can do that is to show that they can trust you. And there's different ways to do this. And there's also things that you can put on your website specifically that answer their questions that they don't realize that they have. Because you and I, we're in this all the time, right? We can see a mile away when there's going to be an issue with their timeline or, oh my gosh, their mom is, you know, being very dominating and you have to be kind of like the go-between, the diffuser, the person that makes the day go better. There's a lot of things that you foresee that they may not. And so being able to answer and alleviate those concerns or questions or fears before they even know that they have those questions or fears will instill confidence in them. And you can answer those things on your website. That's like such an easy way to inspire trust. And the reason why you do that is because they're going to spend so much money on you. It's not like going and shopping for toilet paper, right? Like deciding between Charmin and MD is like a 30-second process, if that, because it doesn't cost a ton of money. But when it comes to purchasing a high ticket item or service, they're going to take a lot more time thinking about it and they need to feel really good about that. So just having a bio about you and maybe like a couple of clients giving feedback isn't necessarily enough on your website. So we'll talk about how to do that. So there are three things that we need to know before I go into how I actually like employ those strategies. And the first thing is the psychology of purchasing behaviors. So back in the day when I was in business school, we talked about like the psychology behind people making their purchasing decisions, right? So like there are emotional reasons, there are status reasons, there's tons of reasons why people make purchasing decisions. For weddings, it is a very emotional decision, right? People who purchase services typically do it because they want their wedding day to reflect who they are. So that's kind of like reflecting and cementing their vision of themselves. So like you typically buy clothes based off of how you want people to perceive you, right? So people will make the purchasing decisions on what to have or who to have on their wedding day based off of, you know, those things like their status. I hate to say it, but it's true. What they want people to think of them. They want people to enjoy themselves on their wedding day. They also want the photographs to be beautiful and magical and reflect that magical feeling that they had on their wedding day, because people really build the wedding day up in their heads, right? So those are things that they consider. The other thing is that there's more time required before they make a purchase purchasing decision. So typically there's 7 touch points. And what a touch point is like, they might go to your Instagram. That's 1. They might go to your website. That's 2. They might read about you. That's 3. They might look at your reviews. That's 4. They might go Google you. That's 5. They do a lot of these before they actually reach out to you and make a purchasing decision. So it's really important to consider that and understand the more content that you put out there that shows that you're competent and trustworthy, it makes it easier for them to say yes, right? And that's another reason why having a good website is key, because you want to have lots of information, answer all their questions, have a lot of great content for them to sift through so they can really feel like they can get to know you. So that psychology of purchasing behaviors is important to understand, so that when you go to put stuff on your website, how you word your about me section, your blog posts, your captions, all of that, it's important to understand what makes your client or the person who's purchasing your services tick and what they're worried about, those kinds of things. So that leads me to the other point, which is understanding their fears and concerns. You're essentially a stranger on the internet to them, and they're going to invest a lot of money. They want to know that you are trustworthy, that you can handle situations, that they don't have to hold your hand the entire time. And the way that you can do that is through being very transparent, showing up consistently on your social media, of course, but also on your website through blog posts. I say blog posts are one of the most critical things that you can do for many reasons, but it's helpful to have that information there for them. Another thing that you can do is have a list of frequently asked questions and concerns that you normally get in emails. Like for me, I usually let the clients know, hey, when you work with me, you have me the entire year. You can email me anytime with any questions. I love helping my couples work through the timeline, figuring out, you know, what the best time of day is to take specific photos. If you need help finding vendors that are trustworthy, I can send you a list that I've worked with. I don't get any kind of kickback because I refer them. I just really like working with them and I know they do a great job. Those kinds of things help them feel better about you. And I think it's really important to know that nothing is too little. Like having a vendor list or telling them, hey, you can email me or text me anytime and I'm here to help you with that. Those are things that right up front, telling them right off the bat that you help them with is really important. The other thing is getting reviews. Like set up your Google My Business account and have people review you on Google, because that helps your SEO, of course. But people have told me so many times, they're like, your reviews were so good and it made me want to reach out to you. So you may think that reviews are not important, but think about it. When you go on Amazon and you're making a big purchase, you typically look at the reviews, right? They influence you. So why wouldn't you take the time to ask previous clients to give you a review? That's really critical. So the location, that's the next thing that I want to talk about. So where do couples go when they start their planning process? And this can be a physical location or digital. And you may be thinking, well, Instagram. Yeah, that's true. But for the most part, people go directly to Pinterest, even if they have a wedding planner, because they want to send their vision to their wedding planner. So Pinterest, friends who are married, wedding planners, and other vendors. So those 4, Pinterest, friends who are married, wedding planners, and other vendors like florists or DJs or officiants. The reason why those 4 are so critical and I think that you should spend time on is because they have the most weight in terms of either getting to your couple first or trust. So friends who are married, wedding planners, and other vendors carry a lot of weight. If they say, oh, you should go with this person, that is way, way more beneficial to someone, and they trust a recommendation over searching the black hole of the internet, right? So that's why whenever I talk to you guys about setting up and getting your vendor relationships built as a key component of your marketing strategy, it's because 2/3 of all of my bookings are from either client or vendor referrals. So when you are sitting and saying to yourself, well, it's not really that important. Actually, it is. 2/3 of my income comes from referrals. Like, let that sink in for a sec. So if you're not out there working on developing those relationships, and when I say that, I don't mean, hey, can I get on your preferred list? That is going to get you off of any kind of list really quickly. Instead, think about the vendors you want to reach out to and do something that will help their business. And don't ask for anything in return. Like, build actual human relationships. That is the true key to the success of this business. And I think that's really hard for people, but it's one of those things that if you want to be successful, you have to suck it up and do it. I hate to be like blunt, but it's true. Like, if everyone wanted to be successful in this business, everyone does, but if they wanted to make the money and if it was easy, then everyone would be doing it, right? And so these are those things where I'm like, I'm telling you, this is how you do it. You just have to go out and try, and then you start to see success. There's no magic formula for it. So the other thing is Pinterest, right? So Pinterest is the first place people go. So why aren't you showing up there? Why don't you spend a lot more time getting your content onto Pinterest? And that's where I kind of want to focus this, because it's so easy to get on there and it's so easy to use Pinterest once you have your system set up. So let's talk about this. So let me recap. Where are your couples? They're on Pinterest with other vendors, with family, friends who've been married, and wedding planners. So what can we do right now? What can you start right after you listen to this podcast? How can you start employing these tools? Well, the first thing that you're going to want to do is make sure that you convert your Pinterest account to a business Pinterest account. Super easy. Like, as soon as you go onto your Pinterest account, I think there's a button in the top right-hand or left-hand corner, and it'll allow you to change your normal Pinterest account to a business Pinterest account. The reason why you want to do this is because you can look at your analytics, and your analytics are so critical. So for me, when I posted to Pinterest for the first time and started doing this, I had some pins that blew up that were super popular. And I'm like, really? I would have never thought those pins would have been popular, but okay. And it's important to see that, because you can look at those pins and say, okay, well, that's the kind of content that people are really into. So maybe I can be really strategic and start doing styled shoots, targeting that, or posting content that's more inspirational. So first things first, set your Pinterest account to be a business account. The second thing is your website. If you don't have a blog set up on your website, you really need to get that. It's not just for Pinterest. It's about building trust with your couples, and also showcasing that you're trustworthy. Because if you blog about, you know, your camera settings or things that you've learned as a wedding photographer or a wedding planner or the top tips that you recommend to people planning their wedding, those things show that you have experience and expertise and build trust. And that differentiates you from people who are too lazy to write those posts. So I think it is important, whether or not you end up using Pinterest, to have a blog, because you do need to show that you're trustworthy. So get your blog set up and make sure that you have a ton of photos that you can pin to Pinterest. Vertical photos are better than horizontal photos, just because they take up more space on Pinterest. But the other thing that you're going to want to do is you can go to Canva. It's Canva or PicMonkey, and you can make those pins, you know, the ones that we see on Pinterest that have a really cool image and text over them, like the 5-step method to grow your business or no bake cookies. Those are made super easily. You can make them for free using Canva. I think PicMonkey, there is a fee to use that, but you can do a free trial. And you can make those pins, pin them to Pinterest and have it link back to whatever blog post you have. That will help a lot because that is one of those things that tells people, hey, you're going to want to click on this blog post because it's going to help you with whatever. How I do it is I actually have 2 pages that are linked on my homepage. The first one is How to Elope in Oregon, and the other one is How to Elope in Yosemite, because those are the 2 places that I really target heavily for elopements. And so I made a web page, or it's a part of my website. It's just another page on my website where people can click to and look at, you know, what's the best time to elope in Oregon? Where? What packages do I offer? Where can you stay? Those kinds of things that are really helpful. And what I do is I create a pin that goes directly to that page and I pin it to Pinterest. Now, here's the kicker. If you pin something one time, some people will see it, but it'll, you know, kind of sink to the bottom. You need to pin those pins over and over again. So how I do that, because ain't nobody got time for that, right? How I do that is I use Tailwind, and it's $150 a month. And I know that sounds like, oh God, another thing, but it saves me so much time and it will repin things for you over and over again at the times of day and week that people are on Pinterest. So I get the most bang for my buck, right? I think it's critical because I want to get more clicks to my website because that helps my SEO, my searchability on Google, and it also gets more people to my site. This year I've had 3 inquiries because of, and it's only February, I've got 3 inquiries through Pinterest because I have this pin that says how to elope in Yosemite. And people have found me through that. And they said, you seem really knowledgeable. Like, you know how to set up an elopement and you know the trails and you know what you're doing. And once again, building trust. And they see that on Pinterest because that's where they're searching and they find me. So I would say that would be a great first few steps to get started on Pinterest. Blogging your little hearts out is really critical, and pinning to Pinterest and having those pins cycle over and over again is super helpful. So let me talk about a few questions that you're probably going to have now. Things like hashtags, captions, what about boards, Pinterest boards? So here's how I approach Pinterest. I like to have a few boards that are I like all of my boards to be inspirational, but I have 2 target audiences, right? I have photographers that usually look for posing or inspiration for the kinds of photos they could take or locations. And then my other target audience is couples who are planning their wedding. So I like to have boards that are inspirational to both. So I have groom attire, bridal attire, wedding poses, or couples session outfits, or couples outfits. I've worded it differently, much better than how I'm speaking right now. But how I figured out the names of those boards is kind of sneaky. So if you go onto Pinterest and you type in the word wedding, you'll see all of these suggestions pop up, right? Though that is Pinterest giving you a big key, like a big, like, hey, here's what people are searching for. So the dropdown of the suggestions are really good ideas for what you should name your boards, and also what the hashtags should be in the caption of your pins, because hashtags work in Pinterest. Make it relevant to what the image actually is. Like, you know, if it's a picture of a groom, don't post veil or ceremony ideas, because Pinterest doesn't like that. So make sure that your hashtags are relevant and that your pins actually link to the page that that picture will go to. Don't just have it link to your website, your general website, because people feel like they're deceived if it just goes to, you know, your general website rather than where the rest of those pictures are housed. So be really honest and truthful about it. So that's what I would say to start off with Pinterest. That is like the basic fundamental stuff. Once you start looking at your analytics a few months from now and you see that a few pins are like really getting traction, pay to promote those. Obviously, people really like them, so you want to get them out in front of more of an audience. And Pinterest can do it for you, where you pay to promote to people similar to the people that liked your pin. You can do that on Instagram too, but I like to target people who are in the medical field. They have the bachelor's degree, are newly engaged. They're between 21 and 37, female typically. I only know the demographic information because I've done a crap ton of marketing research. So that's a little nugget for you. But really hone in on the specific people, like newly engaged, searching for wedding dresses, those kinds of things, very specific. And you'll find that you have a lot of success. And I like to target people in Oregon or in searching for Yosemite type inspiration, just because those are the kind of people that I'm trying to target. So your target audience might be a little bit different than that. But those are the things that I would specifically touch on when it comes to Pinterest. And for your marketing strategy, I would start there. Developing vendor relationships is one of those things that you have to like really look at yourself and say, hey, am I comfortable with just reaching out to strangers? You should be, because you're in the wedding industry. But one piece of advice that I have for you is never go into it assuming you're going to get anything out of it. Be a good human, do something for others for free, and don't expect anything in return. Really do your homework. If it's like a floral shop or an invitation set, or not an invitation set, someone who does invitations, a designer, calligraphy, reach out to them and say, hey, I would love to style a whole bunch of your invitation sets and signs. I'll set it up with a florist and a studio, and we'll just have a content creating day. I just want to work with you, and I'd love to have a portfolio full of your work that I can share with you. That is much better than saying, hey, could you send me an invitation set I want to use for a styled shoot? Like, it doesn't sound as good. Or, hey, can I get on your preferred vendors list? Like, no, that's not showing that you care about the other person, because even though they have a great business and they're successful, they're still a human being too. And you want to show them that you see that and that you care and that you genuinely just want to offer something to them to help them grow their business. So you have to do a little bit of homework there. The other thing is wedding planners. It's the same thing. You can't just ask them to get on their preferred vendor list. I would send couples to wedding planners that I think are great, or say, hey, I'd be willing to do some headshots for you for free, just to get to know you and to spend a little time together, and you get something out of it. Those are the ways that I would approach it, and be very careful with their time. Do it at a time that is convenient for them, not for you. I mean, obviously, hopefully it's convenient for you, but make it as easy as possible for them to say yes. So I hope that wasn't too much. I know I talked a lot and I talked really, really fast. So go back, go through it again. I have a lot of stuff that I like talking about. And if there's anything that you have questions about, let me know. But I will have a ton of stuff linked in the show notes below. Just let me know what you want to learn, what wasn't clear, or maybe what you'd like to expand on. And I'd love to have that in my next podcast. So thank you, everyone, for your attention. And I will chat with you later. Bye.